This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. The earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We end our reading at the close of this verse. To the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 1. Page 1119 in the Pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, we read verses 1 to 13. The title given in the NIV to this passage is A Sabbath Rest for the People of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, that is, the children of Israel in the wilderness. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed entered that rest. Just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet, his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall
by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. May God bless to us His holy word. Amen. So this evening we come to the seventh of our studies in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. Our text this evening will be from Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Our subject, the first Sabbath. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And then here is our text, particularly verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. The Presbyterians of Ulster are known for the Ulster Sabbath. And I suppose we get that to some extent from our Scottish spiritual ancestors. One writer once said, "There is nothing more desolating to the human spirit than a wet Sabbath in Aberdeen." He regarded that as the ultimate in total boredom. And I suppose people do make fun of the traditional Sabbath. Certainly in the last 30 years, there has been a tremendous, and I would say a catastrophic decline in outward Sabbath observance in our nation and in our own province. Many of us can remember when all shops were closed, more or less, when most people went to church, or seemed to, when everything stopped, and it was indeed a very peaceful and a very different day. And even in the lifetime of this present Parliament, we have seen major legislation being introduced to change the nature and essence of the Lord's Day and to bring it more into line with secular days. In every way, the forces of commerce and entertainment are seeking to destroy the Christian Sabbath. Now, we disagree with that, and we deplore it, and we protest against it. And yet I'm afraid that even without realizing it, we ourselves may be influenced to some extent by the changing approach to the Sabbath day. There are things being done in Reformed Presbyterian homes. There are various practices which would not have been the case a generation ago. And I cannot feel that these practices are for the good or are pleasing to God. There's much greater laxity among many of our own people even in the observance of the Lord's Day. And those of you who have travelled in other countries or worshipped with other Christians will have certainly had the surprise and perhaps even the shock of seeing that they keep the Lord's Day very differently from our own practice. I remember a chap thanking me for a sermon and inviting me to a game of tennis that afternoon. Well, it was kind of him, and I was glad of his interest in seeing me a bit more, but we managed to get together some other way. I want to think today about the Sabbath. Where do we stand with regard to the Sabbath? We as a people are known for our attachment to the Lord's Day. I remember J. Paul McCracken, one of our American ministers, when he was in our home several years ago, saying to us that he can see the day coming when the Sabbath, the keeping of the Sabbath, will be a distinctive principle of the Reformed Presbyterian Church. Well, he didn't mean that seriously, but he was making a point. For many Christians, the Sabbath is greatly changed. And what we want to see is that really we're in a position of great privilege and responsibility. We'll be looking at this subject again in our morning series in the month of January as we look at ourselves as Reformed Presbyterians. But here we see from Genesis that the Sabbath has an extremely important place in biblical theology and in the life and witness of the church. The subject of the Lord's Day is a vast subject which would take a whole series of sermons to consider. We might think about how we should keep the day, what we should do and what we should not do. We might study the first day of the week. Many topics we could look at. But we want this evening to look at the first Sabbath in the history of this planet. The first Sabbath there has ever been. The seventh day of the first week. The week of creation. And we take as our text Genesis 2:3, and there are three main verbs in that text. And I want to take each of those verbs as our three headings for our message this evening. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God blessed, God made holy, and God rested. Those are the three verbs in our text. First of all then, God blessed this day. God blessed this day. That is to say, God appointed it as a blessing to human beings. It is a gift from his goodness and his love to us. It is a present. When we read that God blessed it, it means he made it a means of grace. He constructed it as a vehicle of spiritual power and blessing. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, if you like, is a channel or a pipe down which or by which God's love and his goodness and his strength flow into our lives. You think of a reservoir of blessing, and you need pipes to bring that blessing down into our lives. One of the great pipes is the Sabbath day. And God's blessing flows through the Sabbath day to us. That's one of the great means by which God loves us and helps us and strengthens us. God blessed the day. He made it a blessing. That is to say, the Sabbath is a source of help for us. It is something for which we should feel gratitude and appreciation. God blessed the day. We should look forward to the Lord's Day with joy. We should spend the Lord's Day in joy. We should remember it with joy. It is a blessing. Our Lord Jesus put it somewhat differently. The Sabbath was made for man. What a wonderful description. Someone says, I have made this specially for you. Some present. Something that they've taken time over. With us in mind. Something that we would like, that we would enjoy, that we would appreciate using and having. I've made this for you. And we take it and we say, you've made this for me. We take it with gratitude and we say, thank you. The Sabbath was made for us. God made it specially for our benefit. Because he's a good God, a loving God. He wanted to give us something that would be of great benefit and pleasure to us. And so he made for us the Sabbath day. And he blessed it. And that's a very different view of the Lord's Day from the popular view. People of the world who don't have God, the Holy Spirit, within them, for them, the Sabbath day is a boring day. It's a tedious day. It's a day to be endured. It's a burden. That's why they want to destroy it and wipe it out and make it like any other day. They have a great distaste for the biblical Sabbath. Perhaps that's a good test of our hearts before God as to whether we are truly in Christ or not. Do you regard the Sabbath as a blessing? As something to look forward to and to enjoy? Is that something you impress upon your children? When our children were very young, we had special meals that we would only have on Sabbath day that they particularly enjoyed. Special treats. Special books. They weren't allowed to open them any other day. Special toys when they were even younger that they could only play with on Sabbath. And that was all deliberate to get them to look forward to it with excitement and pleasure and anticipation. It's a happy day. It's a special day. It is a blessing. Do you regard the Lord's Day as a blessing? God blessed the day. Then we read secondly that God made the day holy. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Or as the King James Version translates it, he sanctified it, which means the same thing. Well, you say, how can a day be made holy? Well, what does that mean? Well, you possibly know that the root meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words for holy mean something which is separated. Something which is set apart. And it has a negative side and a positive side. Something which is separated from something and something which is separated to something. For example, in the Old Testament, a thing could be holy. You could take a knife or a bowl or a dish or a table. Now, how did you make that holy? Well, you separated it from common use. You said, we're not going to have our meals on it. We're going to use it only for the service of God. You separated it from common use to God. You set it in a category of its own. It was special. You didn't use that thing every day. You just used it at certain times and for certain things. It was holy. And in the same way, in the Old Testament, a place could be holy. Perhaps a place where prayer was offered or sacrifice was made. You didn't use that place for anything else. You didn't grow crops there or feed animals there. It was a holy place. It was a separate place in a category of its own. Special, unique, set apart. And in the same way, a holy person was a person who was set apart from normal activities and pastimes. A priest, for example, was holy. He was set apart from normal duties in a category of his own. And so a holy day is a separate day. A different day. That's the meaning of the word. A distinct day. A unique day. A day that is in a category of its own. A day that is not like other days. It's never to be regarded as an ordinary day. It's a special day. It is not like other days. God says that the Sabbath day is made holy or declared to be a separate day. And remember again that the negative and the positive, it is a day on which we don't do certain things. But it is a day in which we do other things. separate from ordinary activities, separate to the worship of God and fellowship and works of love and mercy and necessity. We note then also that this happened at creation. There is nothing particularly Jewish about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was established before there were any Jews. It was established for all human beings. It's like marriage and work and these other things that we've been studying in Genesis 1. It is not just something that is for believers. It is something that is for all human beings throughout the earth. All men and women have a duty to keep this day separate and special and holy. It is one of the creation ordinances of God the Creator before He has chosen out a people, before He has separated Abraham and his family, before He has given the sacrificial laws at Mount Sinai. Long before that, before the ceremonial law, He sets the Lord's Day, the Sabbath rather, as a special holy day. So we keep it. Not just because it's good for us to have a day of rest, although it is good for us. Not just so that we can meet together and learn and study together, although we do. We keep it in imitation of God. God treated it as a separate day. He changed his pattern of activity significantly. He stopped doing one thing and he did something else. God stopped creating and he surveyed all that he created. So there was a change in God's activity and God's attitude. He put this day in a category of its own. And we could spend sermons developing that, how we have to have a different lifestyle on the Lord's Day, a different pattern of activity, to show in as many ways as we can that this is a special day, a holy day. So God blessed the day. God made it holy. And then thirdly and lastly, God rested. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, God did not rest because he was exhausted. That's why we rest. God did not need to rest. God is never weary. God knows no fatigue. And in a sense, as Jesus taught, God still works on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day. He sustains his creation. God's working today. He's keeping you and me alive. He's keeping this earth in being. This is rather a statement here that the work of creation was finished, if you look at verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested. He rested because he had finished the work of creation. There was nothing more which needed to be made. No new creature needed to be formed. No new initiative needed to be taken. God's work was complete. It was entire. It was perfect. He looked at it all and he said, "It is good. It is finished." When God said, "It is finished," he rested. That was a statement by God that his work was finished. His work was finished. His work of creation. And he looked at it with satisfaction, with delight, with great enjoyment. So God rested on this day. He had finished his creative work. You may say, "Well, now, what's the relevance of that to us? We didn't create the world. Is it just that we rest from our daily work?" Well, that's part of it. But there are three other ways in which I would suggest to you this is relevant to us. God's resting. There is, in the first place, a recognition from us that this is God's world, that it has come from His hand, that He owns it, that this world does not need you and me to keep working all the time. On the Sabbath day, we stop. We rest. We work no longer. And it's an opportunity for us to think of the world as God's work, God's creation, and that we are His creatures. We're subject to His will. And every Sabbath day, as we lay aside our daily work, we're saying, Lord, we're dependent on You. We're dependent on You. And then secondly, I would suggest that there is here a rejoicing in another finished work. I suggested that God looked at the work of creation and, as it were, said to Himself, it is finished. And we remember that the Son of God, coming to the end of His time on the cross, cried in triumph, it is finished. And He went down into the grave. When He had come forth from the grave, then His work was completely and utterly finished. And He rests from His labor at the right hand of God. That's the reason for the change of the day, from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week, from the Sabbath, as it were, to the Lord's day. There has been a new creation. The seventh day was the day of rest from the first creation. The first day is the day of rest from the new creation. A new rest from labor. It is finished. In the Old Testament, people worked towards the day of rest. It was the last day, the seventh day. Their goal, their destination, they arrived at the day of rest after they had worked. First they worked, and then they entered into rest. But we begin with a finished work. We begin with a finished work. We start with the finished work of Christ. And at the beginning of every week, we take our stand on the fact that His work for us is finished. And then we go out in the strength of that finished work. We're not working towards the Sabbath. We're working from the Sabbath. Starting with the Sabbath. It is the finished work that strengthens and enables us, and we go on in the light and the strength of this finished work. So this rest is a recognition that the world is God's and we are God's. It is a rejoicing in the finished work of Christ. But surely, most important of all, this rest of the Sabbath is a pointing forward to heaven, to our great, ultimate, and everlasting rest. We read in Hebrews 4:9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. I said we're not working towards Sabbath, but in a way we are, towards the eternal Sabbath, the everlasting Sabbath. The word Sabbath means seventh. It also means rest, Shabbat. In heaven we shall rest. We shall rest from our labor. We shall rest in the perfection of God's work forever. History is going somewhere. That's what we say. Every time the Lord's day comes round, we're saying, I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a heaven. Every time you rest from your work, you're saying, I believe there's a rest for me in heaven. Every time you step aside from your normal activities, you're saying there's a life coming for me which is going to be different. And we're enjoying it, as it were, now. And the weekly Sabbath declares our faith in that. It perplexes me, I must say, why so many Christians are content, even in conversations among themselves, to use the pagan name Sunday. There may be times when we have to use it with unbelievers, although I always just ply on with Lord's Day, and they usually can understand what I mean. It's one day of the week, the only day in the week for which we have a biblical name. Two biblical names. The Sabbath, the rest, and the Lord's Day, the day of Christ. Now the Norwegians and the Norse peoples used to worship their sun god, and this day was the Sunday. But what has that to do with us? Why do we allow the world and the devil to take away the name of God's holy day? To wipe out the reminder of the rest and the Lord. Let us recover these great biblical names and not be ashamed or afraid to use them. To speak of the Sabbath and of the Lord's day. And if people ask us, then we have an opportunity to explain what they mean. What does Sunday mean? People say, well, it's the Son of Righteousness. That's desperate. That's desperate exegesis. Biblical names for these days. A name which means something. Which says something. Which is in itself a witness. How can I bring in the fact that I'm a Christian? Well, there's one very simple way. Begin with the Lord's Day, if you like. Perhaps that's even a richer New Testament term. But either of these names, an excellent name for the day, a biblical name, God's name for God's day. And isn't it a wonderful thing, as we see in this chapter, that there's a great difference about this day regarding every other day? At the end of the day, we're told, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day, the second day, and so on. But here, there's no reference to that. This is an everlasting day. It's an eternal day. It is no evening. There's no darkness in the book of Genesis. We're not told of it ending. The other days all end. The Sabbath day never ends. An everlasting rest. God bless the day. A happy day. A great gift from God. God made it holy. He set it apart as a special day, a different day. And God rested. We begin our week, we enter our week tomorrow, knowing that there is work which God has done, and God has finished for our creation, for our salvation, and we can start from there. Amen.